BCFOhio.org is a website. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, and that is Dorsey Hager, who is the Executive Director, Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me back. Good afternoon and happy Friday.
Happy.
Dragging a little bit after the big opening series win last night at home against the Yankees, but all was good here in Columbus.
Boy, we spanked the Yanks last night, didn't we?
4-0. You know, it's like I said to somebody yesterday, you don't walk backwards into a five-game series. You walk forward, and they definitely did that last night winning game one. Now they're set themselves up to be in great position in the series. They got Kluber going in game two, so everything's looking good for the Tribe. And the worries of maybe them peaking at the wrong time, I don't think are a concern. I think they're peaking at the right time. They're playing really, really well.
Yeah. You know, it was funny to hear all the flack that Terry Francona got for starting Bauer instead of Kluber. Everybody's eating those words today.
Oh, he pitched amazing last night. Oh. He was great. And the one thing I love about watching Bauer work, there's no nonsense. He just grabs the ball and goes.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, he was in rhythm last night. His pitch location was great. He was throwing with velocity, and he just kept the Yankees off balance, especially Aaron Judge. And that's the key in that lineup, to keep that big bat off of balance. And he pitched well last night. He did really well, and the team played well. So I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, there were no drones flying around either. That was a good thing.
Yeah, that is good.
Not that we know of, anyway. All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about demand for workers. I've been hearing, I know a lot of builders and remodelers, and they're all crying for the trades. I had a story here I was talking about just a couple of minutes ago about the demand for construction trade workers, which they expect to go for at least another decade. And a lot of this, you and I have had discussion on this about the aging workforce and the fact that there's just not enough young people getting involved in the trades. How are you faring down in Columbus? Are you making any progress on this? Because I know you got a building boom going on down there.
We've got a building boom right now, and there's a lot of work going on. Just broke ground on the Franklin County Jail, about $145 million. Forensic Science Center is next. That's going to be somewhere in 35 to 40 million range. The Facebook data center in New Albany, which is just outside of Franklin County, but here in Central Ohio, just broke ground. First phase, they're looking at about $750 million. Total construction there will exceed over $1 billion. So I think that we're keeping up with demands. We saw this coming 3 or 4 years ago, and we started doing a lot of proactive outreach, not just the basic stuff into the vocational schools and the high schools, but getting out into the urban centers of Columbus and Franklin County, and trying to let a lot of these young kids or young adults know that if their path isn't college, or if maybe they want to go to college, but financially they can't afford it, which is more and more becoming the case, that there is I don't want to say an alternative, but there is another way. A direct path to the middle class that's tuition and debt-free. And I think a lot of kids and young adults are starting to see that. The problem that we're having, or I guess what's putting us in this position, are two things. One, which you talked about, the aging workforce. We've got a lot of retirements headed our way in the next 36 to 60 months, next 3 to 5 years. All our actuarial tables that all our local unions are doing individually on their own are showing that. Anywhere from 8 to 25% of their membership is on pace to retire in the next 5 years, depending on the local union. And you think about that, that's the experienced, skilled, either journeyman, foreman, or lead foreman, you know, that are running these very large jobs. And it takes a long time to create a person of that, you know, of that employment power. So That's very tough. So that's the one case. And then the second case, and we saw it here in Columbus in the last 10 to 15 years with a previous school attendant, Marion Harris, and it was very common across the state of Ohio, is it seems like everybody was being rewarded on the percentage of kids that they were sending to college. So when we went to guidance counselors or principals or superintendents and said, hey, here's our story, this is what we offer, you know, let us come into your job fairs, your career fairs, let us speak to your kids. I think they were fearful because they were afraid that we were going to siphon off some kids that maybe were going to go to college and bring their percentages and their numbers down, and they didn't want that,
which was very
short-sighted. And so we've missed easily a generation of kids who are now 25 to 30 years old, have a college degree, have anywhere from $60,000 to $150,000 in debt, and unfortunately are not working in their industry or are underemployed in their industry in which they got their degree in. And they're unable to buy a house. They're unable to get married. They're unable to have a kid, you know, the American dream that everybody wants to do, because all their money is going back to college loans.
Wow. I didn't realize that that incentive was in place. It makes a lot of sense, because the more that they can pat themselves on the back and say, hey, look how many we sent to college. But what about the ones who got out of college and, like you said, are sitting around working at a minimum wage job or working at a fast food or a retail outlet right now?
And Columbus is, just like Cleveland, Columbus has a lot going on, restaurants and bars and stuff. And I go out a lot and I entertain people and take people out. And I'll talk to my bartender, my waiter, my waitress. And it's amazing how many people, are you going to school? No, I graduated. When did you graduate? I graduated 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And, I work full-time, but I do this at night. I got to pay my college loans back. Or I haven't been able to find a really good job in my degree, so I'm doing this until I can find it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very difficult. And I tell this story all the time. I was at a career fair at a high school a couple months ago, and a lot of parents were with their kids, and it was more for like freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. So maybe juniors that were looking, the next year to make a decision what they were going to do after high school. And everybody was there, all the colleges, all the junior colleges and stuff. And I was there representing the building trade. And a young man came by with his mom, and his mom just kind of looked at our brochure and kept walking on. And the dad stopped and he says, what is this? And I started explaining it to him, and the mom came back and kind of pulled the dad and said, come on, let's go. He's like, well, wait a minute, I want to listen to what this guy has to say. This sounds pretty interesting. And she's like, listen, she's like, my baby's not installing toilets after high school. My baby's not digging ditches. That ain't happening. He's going to get a good desk job making a good living. He's not doing this, and he's going to college. And the dad was like, no, wait a minute. Look at this here. It says they have college tuition. They put you on a course to get a degree. Plus, you learn a skill. You go to work while you're going to school, so you're making a good wage with benefits. It's going to take our son 4 to 5 years to get through college and find a job. And here, he's taking college classes and learning a skill and getting paid from day one. And this thing, he's off my payroll right away. This sounds like a pretty good thing here. Let's talk to this guy, So, and the thing that a lot of people don't realize either, and I think we're doing a much better job of this, and I've probably said this story to you myself before on your show, is I have a couple of cousins that they're plumbers and fitters, 189, and they're both control guys. And I mean, they both come home at the end of the day, cleaner and less stressed than I do after the day, because they jeans, work boots, golf shirt, they might have a small tool set, but they basically carry an iPad, because everything that they do with their control work, with talking to chillers and balancing different, stuff in schools and office buildings and getting the heating and air, correct, is all done, electronically and wirelessly. So it's all on an iPad now. It's amazing how the industry has changed.
Yeah, it's more brain than brawn when you think about that. And that message has to get out. I wonder how that marriage is doing between the husband and the wife.
I don't know, but you do. You see that a lot. And I think that, that's where we're changing some of our marketing strategies and really trying to get out to parents and also kids too, to let them know that, construction, it was seen as not glamorous, and it's surely not glamorous, seen that way today either. But I mean, I don't think it's what everybody thinks it is. There's a lot of interesting things that people do that a lot of these kids don't realize. And when you see, when you see the painters take their virtual painting machine, when you see the welders take their virtual welder, when you see the operating engineers show up with some of their big equipment and they let kids go out in the parking lot and drive some of their big equipment that they operate, that's how you get those kids involved. That's how you get them excited about it. What I mean?
Absolutely.
And they see what they can actually do. And it's like I tell them, they ask me, they're like, well, did you go to college? And I said, yeah, I went to college. I said, but the one good thing about the trades is you don't have the same view every day. You're not at a desk. You're not in a cubicle. You know, things change. The scenery changes. You make a good living, and you've got a skill that's, one, is always in demand, and two, you can take your skill anywhere to earn a good wage and to earn a good benefit package.
Absolutely.
Which is really good.
Nobody can take that away from you.
Yeah,
they'll try to take your wages away and your pension, but they won't take that skill away.
That's right.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the repeal of a prevailing wage. There's House Bill 98, organizing some security guards, NAFTA, you name it. It's all part of America's workforce. Dorsey Hager on our live line. Also coming up, Pamela Levy is going to report on the latest from Mother Jones Magazine on what the Justice Department is doing with other federal agencies. Kind of like the left hand not knowing what the right hand's doing. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes.
Part union newsletter, part industry trade magazine. The Labor Citizen provides the most comprehensive coverage of the issues that matter to the hard-working members of Ohio's labor trades. Building trades unions that subscribe to the Labor Citizen guarantee their members receive a monthly report crafted by their own union leaders, along with interesting feature stories and news relevant to Ohio's union construction industry. The full-color tabloid is already being delivered to active and retired members from nearly 50 different building trade unions. You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the news and issues important to Ohio's labor trades anywhere. And the only way you can have this valuable monthly publication delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trade union is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting. Or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com for more information. That email address again is info@laborcitizen.com.
America's workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our Raising Wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on AWFradio.com. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You can find him online at Columbus Construction, all one word, ColumbusConstruction.org. All right, Dorsey, talk to me about prevailing wage here, and I know some lawmakers want to get rid of it, and I guess the legislation is, what is it, House Bill 163, is that correct?
Yeah, House Bill 163 would be the repeal of prevailing wage, and it's your normal, it's your normal people, it's your Brinkmans, it's your Hoods, it's your, who have sponsored this. But the unfortunate part of the bill is the number of co-sponsors on it, which was very alarming, and the bill was getting a few co-sponsors matriculating in, like I said, the normal, the usual suspects. But then the speaker decided to sign off on it as well as a co-sponsor. And then you had some people in the legislature, I think, that were trying to cozy up to him that signed off on it as well, who normally wouldn't. So he drove a lot of signatures on this as well, which is very confusing because in some of our talks with him, you know, he talks about how he's not against repealing prevailing wage, but then he signed off on this. And then it was put in a committee that was headed by Ron Young. I think it's Commerce, which Ron Young is a huge proponent of abolishing prevailing wage. He's a huge proponent of right to work. He's always looking to see what he can do to restrict unions because of past experiences that he says that his father had with unions as a business owner. He has a very bad attitude towards unions. Obviously, like I said, because of past life experiences. So he's always out to try to do that. But we're really concerned, and it seems like, you know, they say actions speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was to look at it from outside looking in, and I've told my members this, and this is why we have to stay vigilant, my perception of Speaker Rosenberg is that since he's been Speaker, he's really not had a feather that he can put in his cap. You know, he hasn't really had that one big victory that can kind of propel him to wherever he wants to go after his seat in the state house because he's term limited.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what he's looking at. I think he's looking at the repeal of prevailing wage to give him that that charisma that would help him, you know, pony up to the Tea Party Republicans and the right wing Republicans and the anti union Republicans in his base to try to help further his career. And it's very, very unfortunate. The second hearing was last week, proponent testimony, and they ran out the usual suspects, you know, talking about how prevailing wage drives up costs and all this. And they even had, I wish I could remember his name, I feel horrible. They even had a fire chief from Asheville, which is a small village outside of Circleville, it's about an hour south of Columbus, who was saying that that his trustees had budgeted $800,000 to build a fire station. They had the plans and everything and were looking at accepting bids. And because of prevailing wage, that had increased the cost of the fire station from $800,000 to $1.3 million. Now, you and I know, because we know the industry, that that's mathematically impossible. Construction costs in the state range between 18 and 22%.
Right.
At the very highest, if you bring in variables like the climate or whatever or issues like that, you might have costs reach 25, 26%. But usually they're 18 to 22%. So for him to state that an $800,000 fire station would cost $1.3 million because of the requirement to pay prevailing wage, it's just, you know, and unfortunately when he says those things, And society is getting like this now. Just because somebody says something doesn't mean it's the truth.
Right, right. And that's what the media picks up on.
People are starting to believe a lot of these things.
Yeah, yeah. That's what gets reported.
Exactly. Exactly. So, but he wasn't the only one. They had the cast of characters, and they had them all lined up, and they came through, and they gave testimony. The good thing is that Matt Salazzi, director of ACT Ohio, who is just working his butt off on everything to represent the building trades members of the state of Ohio, did his due diligence. Looks like that bill is going to have a very difficult time coming out of committee. We've rallied some support against it, which is very good. So I think right now we're in a good place. But again, and I know I say this on your show all the time, we still have to stay vigilant. You know, those bills are out there, and I just think that there's a very large wing of that Republican caucus that is looking to do what they can to restrict white rights for union members, and lower wages and benefits for the working class people of Ohio.
Yeah, Sherrod Brown calls that the race to the bottom.
He's absolutely right. I spoke to a group yesterday, about 47 people. We had a labor breakfast, a few friends of ours, some judges and things, and a good friend of ours, our Republican County Prosecutor Ron O'Brien, who's 100% on board with organized labor. And I was updating some of the union members in the room and some of our friends in the local government who hadn't heard of this. And I was explaining this to them, and I said, you know, that's all it does. It creates a race to the bottom. Because you're going to have the worst and least qualified contractors giving the lowest prices, building a lot of these public works construction projects, you know, and we don't have to go through it all again. But the right to work states, you know, they have the highest injury rate, they have the highest fatality rate, lowest wages, no health care. And that's exactly it. And who wants to live in a community like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Dorsey, I want to point something out too, because we often blame the Republicans on this, and rightly so. But you have to understand something today. There's two Republican parties. You've got the common sense Republicans, and this is why Steve LaTourette left. The late Steve LaTourette, great guy.
Yes.
He was so frustrated with these hard right wingers, and they couldn't see eye to eye. And you've got Tom Patton's another one. He's one of our guests on the show. He's now in the state legislature. I mean, he's a union guy. You've got Republicans that understand what unions do and what they're all about, and then you got the ones who can't stand them. And that's why I'm saying there's two Republican parties today, and we just have to make sure that we support the ones that understand what unions are all about. That's so important.
You're absolutely right. And when I go back to my home local union meetings, or when I have our building trades meetings, we have our delegates meetings, we don't even talk about Democrat and Republican. We talk about the people that are going to support labor. You know, there's a good friend of mine that's running for Reynoldsburg City Council. His name's Chris Long. He's a Republican. He's got a ton of Democratic support because he's a moderate. He's a pro-union pro-union city councilman, and the Central Labor Council endorsed him last week. And some of our members, it may have raised their eyebrows, but I think that they're getting that message that, especially the way things are in the State House and the way we're being gerrymandered and how difficult it is to have any kind of bipartisan conversation at the federal and state level, we have to identify our friends and do what we can to help them either get elected or keep the positions that they're in so that they can keep up the good fight for our members.
You got it. Okay, talk to me about organizing. I see SEIU is organizing some security guards there.
Claire Pollard is a rock star. I don't throw that term out very much, but she is a rock star. She is one of the lead reps for SEIU here in Columbus. She's been working her butt off working with these security guards in Columbus. They did an organizing drive and an organizing effort, and they've organized over 300 security guards in the city of Columbus, many of whom were making minimum wage to $8 an hour with no benefits. The lowest starting salary now for a security guard guarding a lot of these ivory towers downtown and these big buildings and office buildings is now going to be $12 an hour plus full health care benefits.
Oh,
that's starting
nice.
Wage. That's the starting wage. So I mean, it's not the fight for 15, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. And I don't think, and nowadays with the numerous attacks on the ACA and how everybody is feeling about that, I don't think you can put a price tag on health insurance. It's amazing how happy a lot of these security guards are, whether they're male or female, because they're the primary breadwinners in their family.
Sure.
And now they have that health coverage for themselves and their family, and that's a huge benefit.
Now Claire was the organizer in this?
Yes, SEIU Local 1, Claire Pollard. She was the one that kind of drove the train down there. And she is, like I said, she is a rock star. She had a lot of help from her staff, a lot of help from other security guards that were helping, too. And we celebrated the signing last Friday with a huge labor rally on the steps of City Hall, where Council President Zach Klein and Elizabeth Brown, Chair Brown's daughter, who's on City Council, they both spoke. And it was great to be recognized, and it was great to see Claire there and all the members of SEIU. And I tried to explain this to our members at our delegates meeting a couple nights ago. Not only is it a huge victory for SEIU, but we've all got to share in these victories, because what it's doing is it's helping, you know, Columbus is a great city and it's America's opportunity city. Unemployment's low and everything, but still, you know, there's some people that are being left behind because of wage disparity, and I think that we're starting to change that. Columbus is a huge white-collar corporate city, but you're starting to see CEOs, corporate leaders, people in the city, definitely people in city and county government, starting to come together to realize that if we're going to progress forward, we have to bring everybody along for the ride. And I think victories like this help change the attitude in the history of the city of Columbus, and I think start helping us progress forward.
That's fabulous. Now, is she pretty accessible? Can I get her on the show here?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She would love to talk to you. She would be good to be on there. She does an awesome job. She understands her what she's doing for her members. And like I said, I don't say it very often, but she is definitely a rock star. She's became one of my closest allies, one of my best friends here, leading the labor charge and the labor movement here in Columbus and Central Ohio.
Okay, you send me your contact information. We'll make sure we get her on the show. That's Claire Pollard, organizing security guards in the Central Ohio area. Good stuff there. All right, Dorsey, we're just about out of time. We're going to have to table some of the rest of the discussion. We'll pick it up next month. And I know you've been meeting with some members of the Central Ohio Congressional Delegation. We'll get into that. NAFTA renegotiation, that's still ongoing. So right now, I'm going to button it up, and we've got another ball game happening, and not too long from now. It'd be nice to go into New York with a 2-0 lead. What do you think?
Oh, would be huge, and I think Kluber's going to show up tonight, and I think he's going to do well. Pitching and defense has been showing up every day for the Indians, and if they continue getting some timely hits, no reason why they shouldn't go to New York up 2-0. And I tell you what, my shoulders are going to be broad on Sunday, Flash. I'm heading up 71 to Cleveland, and hopefully I can bring us a victory against the Jets. I know they've been very, very few and far between since the postseason, but you never know. So we'll see what we can do on Sunday.
We might have to put you on the field, buddy.
Browns haven't gotten that bad.
We'll save that for the next show, all right?
I got you.
Okay, keep the faith, brother. We'll talk to you next month.
All right, thanks. Have a good weekend.
All right, Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades. ColumbusConstruction.org is the website. Quick break when we come back. Pema Levy of Mother Jones Magazine right here on America's Workforce.